This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وخليله بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة تركهم على المحجة البيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك صلوات ربي وسلامه عليه عباد الله يقول الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال تعالى يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد. All praise is due to Allah. We seek His guidance and His forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the whispering of our desires. Whom Allah guides, no one can misguide, and whom He allows to be misled, no one can guide. And I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah alone, having no partners, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave and His messenger and His perfect worshipper. Allah says in the Quran, O you who believe, fear Allah as He deserves to be feared, and do not die except in a state of Islam. And Allah says, O mankind, fear your Lord who created you from a single soul and produced from that soul its mate and made from their combination many men and women. So fear your Lord whom you ask each other by and by the ties of kinship. Verily Allah is ever watchful over you. And Allah says, O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct. He will correct for you your deeds and forgive you your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His messenger, then they are indeed victorious. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had went to capture and seized the caravan of Abu Sufyan. And so him and 300 some odd companions had went for this easy military campaign. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala maneuvered the believers and maneuvered the mushrikeen for it to turn into what would become the Battle of Badr. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after going with his companions to seize a caravan, now sees that he is going to be up against 1,000 of the mushrikeen. And so he summons his companions, all of them, and he says, Ashiru alayya ayyuhan nas. He says, O people, advise me. And so Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu speaks, and he speaks well. And Umar radiallahu anhu speaks, and he speaks well. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continues to say, Ashiru alayya, give me shura, O people. And so Al-Miqdad radiallahu anhu, he says, it is as if you intend us, O Messenger of Allah. Meaning the Ansar, not the Muhajirin, not the people of Quraysh, but Al-Aws and Al-Khazraj. Because they took a pledge of allegiance from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to defend him in Medina, and they're outside of Medina right now. This is beyond the jurisdiction of the agreement. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants to know, what's Al-Aws and Al-Khazraj going to say now? And Al-Miqdad said to him, O Messenger of Allah, we are not going to say, like Bani Israel said to Musa, اِذْهَبْ أَنْتَ وَرَبُّكَ فَقَاتِلَا. You go and your Lord and fight. You and your Lord go fight. We are going to be sitting here. We're not going to say that. Rather, we're going to say, you go fight, and we will be to the right of you and to the left of you and in front of you and behind you. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also heard from Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. And Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anhu said, O Messenger of Allah, if we have believed in you, and if you were to tell us to go and wade through a sea, مَا تَخَلَّفْ عَنَّا رَجُلًا وَاحِدًا, not a single one of us would stay behind. وَإِنَّا لَصُدْقٌ فِي الْحَرْبِ, and you will find that we are صُبْرٌ فِي الْحَرْبِ, that we are patient in battle. صُدْقٌ عِنْدَ اللِّقَاءِ, you will find us to be truthful. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam consulted his companions, and you will see that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not lead them without their consultation. And so in this brief khutbah, I want to talk about this attribute of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that is actually an attribute of the believers. And that is the attribute of shura, the attribute of consultation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَالَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمُ وَالْفَوَاحِشِ. Those describing the believers in Surah Ash-Shura, he says, those who avoid كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ, major sins and indecency, وَإِذَا مَا غَضِبُوا, and when they become upset, إِذَا هُمْ يَغْفِرُونَ, they forgive. وَالَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِرَبِّهِمْ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ, and those who responded to their Lord, وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ, and they established the prayer, and their affair, their characteristic is shura amongst each other. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ, and they give from what we have provided them. And so you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placing this attribute of consultation in between salah and zakah. And we know the importance of salah and zakah, and we know the consistency, or we know the importance of these attributes, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placing it in between these two attributes with their consistency indicates to us that consultation is a consistent attribute of the believer. Surah Ash-Shura, being a Meccan surah, tells us that consultation is not an attribute of the politics of the Muslim state, but it is an attribute of the social fabric of Muslim communities. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ, and in fact, he commands the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Surah Ali Imran, after the battle of Uhud. And the battle of Uhud also had shura. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam consulted the companions with regards to where to fight the battle of Uhud. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's suggestion, his thought, was that it should be fought in the city itself. That you bring the mushrikeen in and you fight a guerrilla war in the city, from the rooftops and from the windows, and lead them in like that. But I want you to imagine, if you're a young man and you missed out on the caravan of Abu Sufyan because you thought it was going to be a caravan of Abu Sufyan, and when everyone is coming back days later, they're talking about the great battle of Badr. If you talk about missing out on an event, that is the greatest event that people missed out on. That a person be a young, able-bodied man in Medina, and everybody's coming back, and they're talking about Jibreel having been there, and the angels having been there, and the mushrikeen, the heads of the mushrikeen being killed, and it is the greatest battle in history, and you were there, except you missed it. So the next year when Uhud came, the Sahaba, the young Sahaba especially, they were like, no, Ya Rasulullah, we're not fighting in the city. We have to meet them out in the open. We have to meet them like warriors in open combat. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he then goes back into his house. They've overwhelmed him. He goes back into his house. And so the people then say to themselves, they say, it's as if we've overwhelmed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when he comes back out, they then say to him, O Messenger of Allah, it's whatever you want to do. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he then says, it is not befitting for a prophet after he has put on his armor that he take it off until Allah has judged between him and his enemies. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us that when you've consulted, you've made a decision, now we move forward. Even though it was not his opinion. And undoubtedly, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has the most sound judgment. He is the person who's got the greatest integrity. He's got the most sincerity. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam submits his opinion to the opinion of the community around him. And the battle of Uhud happens, and you know what happened with the battle of Uhud. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after the Muslims were victorious, it turned into a loss for them, a temporary loss, but it was a victory with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and major, major lessons were learned. But Allah, after the battle of Uhud, what does he say to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He says, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ فَعَفُ عَنْهُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. Allah tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam still to consult them. After something like this, a person might say, you know what, I consulted you guys and this is what happened. I'm not consulting anymore. From now on, it's my way or the highway. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, شَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ فَإِذَا عَزَمْتْ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. And then once the decision has been made, consultation has happened, then rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah loves those who rely on Him. Don't be people who consult, make a decision, and then after the decision is made, someone's making private phone calls to everybody saying, hold on a second, I think we made the wrong decision. Let's go back and have a revount. Let's do a re-election. Let's do a recount. Let's do this. Let's do that. Because that paralyzes a community. And I've seen, and I'm sure many of us have seen, communities where a decision was made 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, a property was purchased for a particular purpose. And that property was never developed by the community because they were never able to. After they made that initial decision and after they raised funds for it and all of that, the infighting. إذا عزمت فتوكل على الله, Allah says. If you've made the decision, then move forward. It's a beautiful etiquette to teach people as well in your family, a beautiful etiquette to teach people in your work groups, that when we've made a consultation in the meeting, we've decided, let's move forward. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam consulted in all of his campaigns. And so you find the Battle of Khaybar. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now if Uhud was 1,000 people, Khaybar was 10,000 people coming to wipe Islam out and the Muslims from the city of Medina. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is seeking counsel from his companions, and one of them is coming from a far off place and he is foreign, and so he's going to suggest something that none of them have ever experienced before. Salman al-Farisi radiallahu anhu, he says, something that we do in Persia is that we dig trenches. And so based on Salman al-Farisi's suggestion, the Muslims began to dig a trench. The Muhajirin, Aus, Khazaj, all of them are building a trench based on the suggestion of a former slave who was not even Arab. Everyone had a voice in the community of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and everyone's voice, if it was the best suggestion, was actioned. I want you to imagine what that does for a community when Salman al-Farisi is seeing everybody building a trench based on his suggestion. Shura is something that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not restrict to battles. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even with the most intimate affairs of his family, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would consult. And so you see, during the slander of Aisha radiallahu anha, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he summons Usama ibn Zayd and Ali ibn Abi Talib and Barira, the servant girl of Aisha, and he asks all three of them, what do you all think? What should I do? And the scholars mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam specifically summoned the young Sahaba. He summoned Ali, who was young, and Usama, who was young, because sometimes young people, they don't have the diplomacy of elders. So they'll give it to you raw. They'll give it to you real. They'll give you what they really think. And so Usama radiallahu anhu, he says, O Messenger of Allah, I've never seen anything wrong from Aisha. Nothing. And Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he says, O Messenger of Allah, Allah's created many women. If Aisha is the issue, then you can divorce her and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you somebody else. Tells Barira, what have you seen of Aisha? Barira is female, she's in the constant company of Aisha, so she'll tell him what the men don't see. And Barira says to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she says, I've never seen anything wrong with Aisha. I've never seen anything that's problematic about Aisha ever, other than the fact that sometimes when she's making dough, she's a young girl and she falls asleep with the dough in her hand and the goat comes and eats the dough. That's it. That's all I got. But I want you to imagine that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in such a vulnerable moment, he is consulting people. And there are many of us who go through the most rocky family situations and we don't consult anybody. Got difficulty with our kids, don't consult anybody. Difficulty with my spouse, my marital relationship, don't consult anybody. Don't talk to anybody. I'm not talking to a counselor, I'm not talking to a therapist, I'm not talking to my best friends. And so even those closest to a person may not know what is going on in their life. They don't consult, they don't ask, they don't seek benefit from anybody else's experiences, and then all of a sudden you hear about a separation and everybody's surprised. One of the beautiful things that consultation teaches us is humility. And one of the things that consulting does is that it suffocates a person's ego. There's no one of us who's more intelligent than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's no one of us who has a better judgment than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And yet we see that Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu says, I never saw anyone who consulted more than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I never saw anyone who consulted more than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So much to even the way that he dressed. And so Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu, they said, "Oh Messenger of Allah, some people they are really impressed by the way that people dress. And so if you took a particular garment that you could wear so that people when they see you, they realize who you are." And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Abu Bakr and Umar, he said, "If you two ever agree on one thing, I would never ever differ with you. If you two both come and you agree, Abu Bakr and Umar, I'm never going to differ with you." And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took on a garment when he was meeting delegations and other things. You know, one of the most awkward moments in the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the most awkward moments in the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. And I don't know of another moment in the seerah where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the companions a point-blank command and they didn't do it. And they didn't rush to do it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Treaty of Hudaybiyah, the Muslims are very frustrated. They feel like the terms of the treaty are humiliating. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he calls this treaty, however, Fathul Mubin later on. But the terms were just very difficult for the Muslims to bear. It was beneath their dignity that if a mushrik accepts Islam, that they have to be sent back to Mecca. But if a Muslim apostates in Medina, they go back to Mecca, and it's not equal terms. And many other terms that they found to be humiliating. And so Rasulullah ﷺ, after the treaty is over, and the Muslims are not allowed to go to Mecca and perform the pilgrimage, even though they're coming as travelers and pilgrims, obvious pilgrims, and the Meccans who have never sent anybody back are sending them back. The Prophet ﷺ, after the treaty, he commands for the Sahaba to shave their heads and offer their sacrifices and go home. Umrah is done. Nobody moves. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam doesn't know what to do. And I want you to imagine, when has this ever happened in the seerah that you can think of? Where he says, do this, and the Sahaba don't rush to do it. But he goes into his tent, and he tells his wife, Salama. And Salama radiallahu anha says, "Oh Messenger of Allah, is that what you want? You want them to shave their heads and offer their sacrifice?" He says, "Yes." She says, "Okay, then this is what you do. You go out and call your barber. And in front of everybody, shave your head. Don't talk to anybody. Just shave your head and sacrifice your animal. And then they'll do it." And the Prophet ﷺ then goes and he does what Salama instructed him to do or suggested that he do. So that most awkward moment with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and as soon as the Prophet ﷺ did it, the rest of the Sahaba all shaved their heads. But it was a consultation that he did with his family. Of the things that consultation teaches us, and I want to briefly end with this. Number one is that it gives everyone a voice. It makes everyone feel that they have a share in the decision. And when everyone feels like they had a share in the decision, even if it's not their decision that was, or their suggestion that was taken, you've created something called buy-in. Everyone has collectively come to this agreement, now everyone has bought into this decision. Also, of the benefits of consultation is that it is obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. Allah commands, and commands denote obligation. And so if Allah is commanding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to consult, then what about us? It removes enmity and hostility. When I am consulted by someone, my natural inclination is to give them good advice. And so even if I have enmity to, or someone's always causing tension with you, or you feel like someone doesn't like you, or you're working with someone in a team and you just feel like they consult with them. And that, inshallah, does part of what that will do, inshallah ta'ala, is remove enmity and hostility from that person. And number four, inshallah ta'ala, is that it removes, or it gives a person exposure to other people's expertise and other people's experiences. Like the example of Salman al-Farisi, he was able to suggest to them a tactic that the Arabs did not know. And it was something that was an experience that came to them from abroad, from Persia. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. أَقُولُ مَا سَمِعْتُمْ أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi sahbihi sallam kathira. The last category of people that I would encourage consulting, we've talked about consulting family, parents consulting their children, but the young consulting the old. You know, something interesting and unfortunate about American society is that there is a disregard to the elderly. And when I, as a young person, am able to consult with those who are elder than me, especially those who have a trove of life experience, that this adds experience to my experience, it adds perspective to my life, it adds years to my lifetime. If I'm able to go through things and learn things without having to actually go through all of the difficulties. Consulting in any affair with regards to people who I think are experts in any particular matter, or in people who have experiences in any particular matter. Let me reach out to people, let me ask people, let me seek out mentors. All of this, inshallah ta'ala, will make a person's judgment more sound, will make their opinions or their steps more sharp, and inshallah ta'ala, their actions more successful. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to allow us to hear the speech and follow the best of it. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to enter us into paradise and what will grant us and grant us what will bring us close to it of actions and speech, and to protect us from the hellfire. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-jannah وما تقرب إليها من قول وعمل ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل اللهم إنا نسألك موجبات مغفرتك وعزائم مغفرتك اللهم تقبل منا صلاتنا وارحم موتانا واشف مرضانا رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا رب ارحم اللهم ارحمك باهلنا المستضعفين المنكوبين في كل مكان اللهم ارحمك في اهلنا في فلسطين وسوريا وفي كشمير وفي الصين والصومال وسائر بلاد المسلمين اللهم كن لهم معينا يوم قل المعين وكن لهم ناصرا يوم قل الناصر صلى الله على سيدنا محمد وقم الى صلاتك